Hey guys, welcome back to Wonderfully Grace Podcast. My name is Pwendi, and today's episode I'm going to be chatting about and talking about my thoughts on therapy, on talk therapy. So in honor of Mental Health Day, World Mental Health Day, which falls on October 10th, I probably should mark that down on my calendar. But yeah, October 10th is World Mental Health Day. And on that day, we just are reminded of the importance of our mental health. So let's get it started. So I'm a words girl. So whenever I start talking about anything, I like to know the root of the word, where it came from, and obviously the definition. So yes, I am the person that Googles everything. So to start off, let's first talk about the word mental health. What does it mean, right? According to healthypeople.gov, I love their definition, so I want to read it off. Mental health is a state of successful performance of mental health. Sorry, y'all. Let's try this again. Mental health is a state of successful performance. Let's try this a third time. Mental health is a state of successful performance of mental function, resulting in productive activities, fulfilling relationships with other people, and the ability to adapt to change and to cope with challenges. Mental health is essential to personal well-being, family, and interpersonal relationships, and the ability to contribute to community or society. And I won't bore you with stats, but one of the stats that I did pull was from the website ADAA.org, and it said that the number one mental health problem in the U.S. is anxiety disorder. They said over 40 million adults ages 18 and older every year suffer from this. And I bet you're not surprised listening. I'm not surprised that anxiety takes the cake in most of our society right now. So now that we kind of have the premise of what mental health is and, you know, just one stat, I didn't want to bore you with a lot of stats. I do want to also premise my background. So I do hold 2 degrees and they both are in the field of social work. And a lot of the social work education is based on psychology and human behavior. So I am stemming from that background, from my education. And I have a very interesting relationship with the field of social work. That would probably be another podcast. But yeah, so that's a little bit of my background that relates to this. My thought on therapy in general is that I am glad it's becoming normalized. It's still a taboo in a lot of places, and in a lot of hearts it's still a taboo. Even when I went to therapy, I still was thinking about the taboo that, oh my gosh, what if somebody sees me get like coming in here? You know, and I'm a social worker and I work in the social work field, and even I was subscribing to that thought. But I am still glad that it's becoming very much normalized and very common. And as I was thinking about this podcast, you know, my brain is very interesting sometimes. That's why I was like, thank God for the creative world, because then you can kind of, you know, share the creative minds with other people. But as I was thinking about this podcast, and I was like, who invented therapy? And I know there's probably somebody out there that invented it, and I probably should know this. I could see my professors like cringing right now. But I was just sitting and thinking, who invented therapy with my Pwendi brain? And I was like, you know what? I really think children invented therapy. And here's why. Here's my thought behind it. Children, they capture adults and even their friends to listen to their thoughts or how something made them feel, right? That's something that is natural. You don't have to teach a child to do this. They just, they're like, I feel like, Bobby took my pen. Like they just start sharing and they want you to listen. They are expecting that you are listening. The second thing that I see children do that is kind of in relation to therapy is they ask for help when they realize they can't do something and there's no shame in it. They're like, Mommy, Daddy, can you help me? And they just ask for help. Now, I know there are certain age child development where they will wear their clothes inside out, their shoes on the wrong feet, and not ask for help because they're learning. They're learning how to be independent. It's a part of their development. But there is a point when they are younger where they can't do something, they're bringing it to you because they know you're the big person. You're the adult, and somehow you can figure this zipper out, and they will bring it to you. So my thought on therapy, if I was to say who invented it, I think we can learn a lot from the children. Children invented the idea behind therapy. And I would just like to add the last part of children kind of inventing the idea behind therapy is that at that age where children, act like that, there is no sense of shame behind it. They haven't encountered yet this sense of shame behind their feelings, behind asking for help, behind sharing their feelings. And I think that is probably one of the biggest reasons that mental health treatment and mental illness, when it gets to that point where it's mental illness, is like such a big taboo because there's a lot of shame that is surrounding asking for help for the benefit of your mental health. So to keep it basic, using that example, the basic of therapy is listening, is being open enough, whatever capacity you can be open to sharing, and somebody else is listening. And they're listening to the best of their ability in an objective manner with the education of why we do what we do as human beings, the field of human behavior. It's also gathering tools for a healthy life. So, talk therapy, a lot of people, because of movies, and for the most part, I guess it was like that back in the day. We think of going into a session, laying down in the lounge chair, and just talking about my feelings, and that's it. Well, talk therapy is a treatment. There is a goal. Just like if you were receiving, cancer treatment, the goal is to eradicate cancer. That's the goal, or to lessen the cancer cells. If you were taking any type of treatment you could think of, that doesn't even have to do with the body, there's always a goal. Talk therapy have a goal. It's not just to talk. Yes, people can pay good money to sit there and talk and have a person listen to them, but a lot of people are seeking professional help and paying good money because something is not going right in themselves or in their relationship with others, and they want help with that. And through the process of talk therapy, they are able to discover the problem, sometimes the root of the problem. And the biggest thing is they are able to gather the tools for them to live a healthy life. Another thought that I had in regards to talk therapy is knowing the difference between when you can do things yourself and when there is a need for a professional service. So I would like to use this example and we can go from there. So imagine with me that you hurt yourself at home. This could be a scratch, maybe even a deeper cut, or even a sprained ankle, right? If you have the knowledge and skill, or maybe someone in your home has the knowledge and skill to aid in caring for that wound, that trauma to the body, for the purposes of healing, that is awesome. You don't need to go to a professional. You can successfully take care of it at home. And in about a few weeks, we will see the results, right? But imagine that you or at home and you fell off of a roof, or your body incurred like internal bleeding or maybe an actual broken bone. I would say that the average household and its members wouldn't have the tool to assist you at home, and that you would have to see a professional, person in a different setting. So, okay, let's say for instance that that household has a world-renowned surgeon, and that was their kid or their husband who experienced that physical trauma. Because human beings are relational, it's very interesting how it becomes more difficult to be objective, because now it's not just a broken bone, it's my baby's broken bone, it's my husband's broken bone. It's almost as if it's happening to you, and psychologists call this secondhand trauma. So I use that example to illustrate the difference between when we can handle mental processes, like things that are happening in our mental space by ourselves, and when it gets to a point, and hopefully prayerfully before it gets to a point, that a trained and skilled professional is needed. There are so many examples that I can use to illustrate this. Like, for example, the difference between adding highlights to your hair at home versus going to a skilled, emphasis on the skilled, professional hairstylist. The results might be largely different. I find that we don't make it a taboo for going to see other professionals because of our society. If we went to the dentist because we needed braces or we had cavities, there's no taboo in that. But I find that we make it a taboo when it comes to ourselves, when we had to seek professional help for our actual self, our inner self. I think one of the reason also may be this misconstrued idea that therapy is someone like me or my colleagues telling you about you. And human beings, we can definitely be prideful. We could be more prideful than humble at time. And we think like, oh, nobody knows me better than me, so why am I spending money for you to tell me about myself when I know me? And I would say you are correct. We don't know you. You know you. And I want to revamp your idea of this. Therapy is a professional skill that can be used to uncover you and whatever goal that you are working on with your therapist. And it often reveals that a lot of us have the tools we need to have a healthy relationships, but we just haven't had someone outside of us teach us the benefit of using them or how to use them. And there are times where the therapeutic process is to add relational tools to your life. So I see it more as a co-laboring instead of going in to a practical stranger and them telling you about yourself, because they don't know you. You know you. But it's like a co-laboring journey to find out more about what makes you and what makes you to others. And if that is toxically affecting somebody else, how can we make it more healthy? And all of that, I find that it's a win-win-win situation, and that it shouldn't be a taboo thing to go to get therapy treatment if that is needed. So that's my thought on therapy overall, and specifically talk therapy treatment. And if you can't tell by now, I am an eager proponent for talk therapy if it's needed. To be a human being on this side of heaven, at times it could be very tough. And if you find yourself needing professional help, there is no taboo in that. I will also be leaving some resources in the show notes for my listeners. Once again, I thank you so much for listening. And if you have found this podcast to be helpful in any way and could help someone else, please share it. I love engaging with you all, if you can't tell. So let's meet in the comments section. And there's actually this cool option on this podcast platform. I'm using Anchor, where listeners can leave a message or a question. So feel free to use that. And I do check those. And last but not least, follow me on Instagram, where I am most active. My handle name is Pwendy Alicia. P like Peter, Wendy, Alicia, like Alicia Keys. I love you all, and remember, you are wonderfully graced for this life. We'll see you in our next podcast.